Blog Talk Radio.
Mama said you would never be nothing. When aunties and uncles said that you'd never be nothing.
Come to praise God this morning. This is Pastor Herbert Kenny of the Flame of Five Ministries. Oh, yes, it's just an honor to be able to come to you this morning on Blog Talk Radio just to talk about the goodness of God this morning. For I'm blessed this morning. This is a beautiful Sunday morning. The sun is shining bright. Oh, yes, this is the Lord, day that the Lord has made, and I am rejoicing and being glad in it. This morning we're just going to go and we're going to talk about reverencing God this morning and prayer, amen. But before we get started with our message, we just want to open in prayer. So it's always good to pray. The Bible declares that we should pray without ceasing. So let's pray. Father, we just come before you in the mighty name of Jesus, giving you all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory. For Father, you are truly worthy, God. And Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, for this day. We thank you, Lord God, that we will gather strength from your word this morning. We thank you, God, that you are moved by your spirit. So, Father God, there's no God like you, God, and we thank you this morning, for you are awesome and you are wonderful. And, Father God, we thank you, Lord God, and we come to pray, Lord God, for our nation. We come, Lord God, to ask you, God, to regulate, Lord God, the minds of our leaders, Lord God, to speak to their hearts. And, Father, we pray, Lord God, for a praying leadership, Lord God, a leadership that will seek your faith, a leadership that will call on your name. Father God, we thank you, Lord God, that they will know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Father, we just come right now, God, crying out for our nation. Lord God, crying out, let you heal our land. For Father God, there's need of healing in our land today. There's need and healing in the hearts of man. Father God, we thank you this morning, God, that we will not sit back idle, Lord God, but we will be active and, Lord God, proactive in the things of God. Father God, we come before you, Lord God, blood-bought, blood-washed, sold out. Lord God, for you. But Father God, we thank you for all the listeners to this broadcast, Lord God, whether they're saved or unsaved. We pray, God, that you speak to their hearts and their minds, and Lord God, that you move second to none by your spirit. For Lord God, we thank you this morning. For Lord God, you are truly wonderful to be praised. For Lord, we adore you, and Lord God, we exalt you. For Lord God, we just thank you, Lord God, and we thank you, Lord God, for our fathers in the earth. We thank you for mothers. We thank you for your people. We thank you, God, that you are Lord God, raising up an army. We thank you that you're raising up people, Lord God, that will turn back unto you, that will, Lord God, rekindle, Lord God, their walk with you and their love for you. Father God, we thank you, God, that they will always be mindful, God, to put you first in their life. For, Lord God, you are first. And, Lord God, we glorify you as being the head, Lord God. We glorify you, God, in choosing us, Lord God, to serve you and choosing us to represent you on the earth. Father God, we thank you that we are your ambassadors. We come to magnify you. We come to spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord God, for the many, Lord God, media opportunities and media, Lord God, that we have in this earth to bring forth your glorious gospel. We thank you for it, God. We thank you for the creative minds of man who have came up with this technology, that, Lord God, that we might spread the good news of the gospel. And, Father, right now, we ask you, God, to be in the midst. We ask you, God, to be glorified. We ask you, Lord God, to be exalted. We ask you to be pleased with our service this morning and be pleased with our sacrifice. And, Father God, we thank you for the worship that will come forth this morning, Lord God. We thank you for the worship this morning, God, for you are truly worthy. Lord God, we will lift up our hands in your sanctuary, and we will give you praise this morning. Lord God, we lift up clean hands. We lift up holy hands before you. And, Lord God, we thank you right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Oh, God, once again, we come into your presence with expectancy in our hearts. God, we know you're going to bless us. So we lift our hands in the sanctuary and we give you glory and honor and praise. Come on, come on.
We lift our hands in the sanctuary. We lift our hands to give you the glory. We lift our hands to give you the praise. And we will praise you for the rest of our days.
Yes.
We will praise you for the rest of our days.
We lift our hands.
We lift our hands in the sanctuary.
We lift our hands.
We lift our hands.
Oh.
To give you the glory.
We lift our hands.
We lift
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you once again for listening to this broadcast. We'll be talking about reverencing God this morning. Amen. For God is such an awesome God. He's such a wonderful God. Well, we're such a kind God this morning. Oh, yes, I'm excited about the things of God this morning. We're going to go ahead and get into our message. It's entitled Reverencing God in Prayer. Amen. And if I had to have a subtitle for this, I would call this Face Down. Amen. But we as a people of God, you know, we pray. But do we pray effectively? Do we actually pray the word of God? We as a people of God, prayer is necessary, and prayer is a request made unto God. We as a people, we need to get into our word and really learn how to pray and seek God and really get God's attention, because a lot of us are just praying, and we are not seeing God move or answer our prayer. But we as a people, we need to really study the Old Testament and see how God moved for his people when they prayed and when they cried out unto him, and how he just brought a movement in the earth. You know, we can go back and look at the children of Israel, and, you know, and they were some stubborn people, but they were stiff-necked, stubborn, hard-headed. You know, many people in the world today have that same makeup, the same demeanor, the same attitude. They just, we sometimes can be rebellious, stubborn, you know, and we, you know, we don't understand that when we transgress the word of God, then things become hard for us. And we as a people of God, you know, we go through so much unnecessarily. If we just was to get into our word and seek the Lord and praise him and do what the Bible tells us, our life will be, we'll be happy, we'll be exciting, we'll be fulfilling. But we as a people, we like to experiment, we like to go through things, a lot of us. But we, especially Christians, we need to really get into our word like never before, because we are truly living in the end times. We are seeing so much devastation and famine and pestilence and wars, and we are seeing so much laws being made against the word of God. People don't understand. God's word is the supreme law. And we as a people, if we get that into our head that God's word supersedes every law that is written by man, you know, but we as a people, we want to get upset with the things of God or get upset with the word of God, and we want to come up with a newfangled idea. And that's what has hurt us as a people, as a nation, as a body of believers. When we get upset with the things of God or men of God or women of God, and we want to make changes and we want to, you know, put our own little twist to it. But some things you need to just leave alone. God perfected his word, and God's word has been purified and tried in the fire furnace of the earth. So why do we need to add anything to God's word? Why do we have to be, you know, inventive or innovative with the word of God? The word of God is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. If you use what's at your disposal, which is the Bible, you can see God do all kinds of marvelous works and signs and wonders will manifest in your midst. Healing and deliverance will take place in people's hearts and lives, and people get healed of sickness and disease. But we as a people must understand that our first duty as Christians is to pray. We need to learn the various ways to pray. Today we will talk about praying before the Lord on your face. Amen. The face is the part of the body that is honored the most. When we fall on our faces before God, this is one of the most reverential positions we can be in. If you go down to Leviticus 9 and 23 and 24, and it reads, "And Aaron and Moses went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. And there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces." We as a people of God, we shouldn't have to wait. We shouldn't have to wait and see some miraculous move of God before we fall on our face before the Lord. That should be one of our positions of prayer. We should be on our face before the Lord, crying out before the Lord. Because when you lie prostrate on your face, I'm telling you, literally, lie on the ground, prostrate before God with your face to the ground, crying out to God. This is a place that signifies that you're reverencing God, that you respect God. A lot of us have lost respect for God, and we see the loss of respect being carried over into our children's life. Today, great deal of children in this world don't respect grown-ups. They don't respect the authorities in the earth. You know, they're just running wild. And we got the children going forth and carrying handguns and killing people at an all-time high. But we as a people must understand all this killing of children began when they took prayer out of school. We as Christians, we need to, you know, instead of marching for all this unnecessary nonsense, we need to march to have the right to have prayer in our schools. Because when I was growing up, back in the 70s and 80s, we didn't have all this nonsense. We didn't have folks coming to school killing folks and killing kids. We didn't have kids killing kids. And if you realize, there's a certain demographic that the devil is using to go forth into the earth to kill kids and kill children. We got to understand parents need to be more responsible, especially when it comes to the use of handguns. I've talked to many people, you know, in the earth, because I'm ex-law enforcement, ex-military, and I've talked to many of people that saying they are letting their 9 and 10-year-old children shoot guns and use guns. That is a terrible mistake. Guns are for the mature in heart, the mature in mind. And the Bible declares that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. So why would you go out and teach your child how to use something, use a gun, that's something that could cause deadly force? That's a mistake on a parent's part. You know, we as parents, we need to step up and do more for our children. We are too liberal in the United States of America nowadays. We allow our kids to do whatever they want to do. We allow our kids to talk back to us. See, we must understand, even when I was growing up in the 70s and 80s, you know, we didn't have peer pressure. We had parent pressure. We know if we did something crazy or wrong, we know our parents was going to deal with us. And, you know, and we didn't want our parents to come down on us. But nowadays, you know, parents are allowing the children to just do whatever they want to do. And that is a mistake. God did not intend for children to run wild and do what they want to do. God allowed children to have parents, and parents are supposed to be responsible for their children. Amen? So I can get on this thing, and it's a pet peeve of mine, you know, about just parents just not standing up and you know, and doing what they're supposed to do as parents. You know, and that's why the children are out of control today. Children now will curse you out. Children will disrespect you. Children will walk up to you and shoot you dead. You know, and it's sad, you know, to see this going on with children. We as grown-ups today, we need to understand that we have a responsibility to train up our children in the way they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. And, you know, if we as a people was taught to teach our children, start with the foundation of creation, you know, man and woman, you know, was the foundation of creation, we are to be an example to our children and to the rest of the world. Let's go on to this message in Jesus' name. You know, and to fall on your face is a place of complete surrender of your will. We're going to Matthew 26 in Jesus' name, verse 36 through 39. And it reads, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder." See, Jesus was a praying man, and Jesus came to be an example to humanity. He came to be an example to man. He came to show us how to please God, how to get God's attention, how to get God to move when we pray. Amen? And we as a people of God, we have so many great examples of the Bible. We have the greatest example of all times, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He came in the form of man, and he came to show man the right way to seek God, to praise God, to reverence God, to love God, and to live for God. He was a perfect example. And you see in this passage of Scripture, it talks about Jesus going into the garden and started to pray, amen, in verse 36. And 37, "And he took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy." This was during the time that Jesus was getting ready to be delivered up, to be put on the cross, that he may shed his precious blood for us. And he had some concerns about that. In other words, you know, think about it. As a human, who wants to die? None of us wants to die. We want to live forever. You know, we want to be in this earth. We want to be around. So Jesus, His flesh part of him had concerns about him being on the cross. But he knew that he had to go by way of the cross because it was prophesied in the Old Testament in the book of Isaiah about Jesus Christ. So he knew he had to fulfill the will of God. We're the people of God. We need to really be concerned about why we are here. Amen. In verse 27, he took with him Peter. And Peter, who was Peter? Peter was a man, he was mouthy. He ran his mouth a lot. And we have a lot of Christians run their mouth about what they're going to do and what they will do and what they won't do. And we have a lot of Peters in the church. We have a lot of Peters in the earth. We have a lot of people always talking and never coming to anything. You know, they had to go. Peter was a man that always had to go through something before he got the revelation. I don't want to be that kind of man. I want to be like our elder brother and Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he took Peter and two sons of Zebedee and began to be soft and very heavy, in verse 38. Then said he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Now, he just had a simple request. He said, wait here with me. Wait with me. Pray with me. You know, pray with me and wait with me. Is it hard to wait on the Lord? Is it hard to pray? You know, it's so, we got to understand, prayer moves God. Prayer gets God's attention. And just think about us as people. If we come together in unity and pray, we can see change. We can see the hand of God like never before. But it takes prayer, amen? It takes a lot of prayer. It takes a body of believers crying out and believing the same thing. It takes a body of believers having the word of God and living by the word of God, not off on some tangent or not off in some false religion or not off, you know, trying to make up new rules and laws when it comes to God's word. We have too much division in the body of Christ. We have too much division in the world. We are so divided in this country. We are so divided until we can't really get prayers through. We can't see God move for the nation. We can't see God move for the world because we are so separated. Amen. And a lot of lawmakers saying, you know, we have certain rights that we, you know, that we can have our individualism and individual ideas. That's good to a certain extent. But then again, when it comes to God, we need to have one people, one mind, one voice, one praise, one worship. We need to have unity in the body of Christ. Amen. It's vital for us to see God move and to have God to be our protector and our guide. Amen. We in verse 39. In Matthew 26, verse 39. And when he went a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed. He fell what? On his face and prayed. He humbled himself in the presence of the Almighty God. He reverenced God, amen. He respected God. He knew how powerful God is and how powerful God, you know, wants to move in his life. So he said, look, I have to pray, but I'm going to fall on my face and cry unto the Lord. Have you fallen on your face and prayed before the Lord? Have you took time out? Have you given God a sacrifice of time? Have you given God a sacrifice of praise? Have you given God a sacrifice of prayer? Have you actually, literally, fell on your face before the Lord and pray and let your requests and petitions be made known unto God? If you haven't, I encourage you today, if you don't hear anything else from this message, I want you to hear that falling on your face before the Lord and crying out to the Most High God, praying his word back unto him will start to start a movement in your life from God. It'll start God to hear your cry. It'll start God to hear your prayer and look up on your concerns. It will start God to take a close look at you and God will start to move in your life and start to bring things to a level of peace in your life. We need to understand that prayer is very important, and falling on your face before the Lord in prayer is supernatural. Amen. And he went a little farther in verse 39 and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thy will. Amen. Now, you got to see, in this hour, God, Jesus himself, had to pray. Because, you know, like I said earlier, which one of us will give our life, we want to give our life voluntarily? You know, that's very few people that would say they would do that for the betterment of mankind. Amen? Oh, I'm excited this morning. And we're in verse 40. And he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep and said unto Peter, what could ye not watch with me an hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now this scripture stands out to me. And Jesus spoke this unto his three disciples that he took into the Garden of Gethsemane. So I speak unto the believers, body of believers today. He say, God would say, and Jesus said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. We as a people of God, we are being tempted all day, every day. And a lot of us are falling into temptation. We need to understand that God has given us a way to escape every temptation that is known to man. When Jesus Christ was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, if you go back in Matthew 4, if you take a look at the word closely, he said, for it is written. He spoke the word of God to the enemy. He spoke the word of God to the devil. You got to get an understanding that it's vital and critical that we speak the word of God at all times, even in our hour of temptation. We as a people of God should not fall into temptation. We should what? Flee from it. We shall cast down every imagination and high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. And if you feel like you're being tempted and you're starting to be overcome by that temptation, it's time for you to fall on your face before the Lord and start to cry out and ask God to strengthen you. Ask God to send his angels to be encamped around about you to come and minister unto you. If you notice in that scripture in the book of Matthew, when Jesus Christ was tempted and he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, you know, his body was weak. But then after he spoke to the enemy and told the enemy to get thee hence, to get out of his face in so many words, then the angels of the Lord came and started to minister unto him. You got to get an understanding that when you was created, God has angels assigned to protect you and to make sure that you fulfill the call that's on your life. Now, you got to get an understanding that God will allow certain things to come your way, but then again, God wants to see, you know, if you would deal with it according to Scripture. We as a people of God, we go through tests and trials and sometimes tribulation and sometimes suffering, but God will allow us a way to escape everything that comes at us. But the most important thing that we can do as Christians is to fall prostrate before the Lord on our face and start to cry out unto God. Start to seek God and stay in that position until you come to that place of peace in your life. That you know when you seriously pray, you honestly pray, and you're praying and you're supplicating and you're crying out to God, and when you finish prayer, there's a certain peace that comes over your life. Have you ever had that happen to you in your prayer time? You know, I have had the privilege and, you know, and the pleasure to just seek God and lie prostrate before God and cry out to God dealing with concerning my issues and my problems. And when I finished praying, I had such peace on my life. I had answers and I could see things clearly. A lot of us are being just bombarded with life and bombarded with rhetoric and bombarded with issues and bombarded with trials and tribulations. But we as a people of God, we need to understand that we can cause this trouble and trials to cease by praying. Crying out to God will cause your troubles to cease, cause your troubles to subside, cause your troubles to dissipate. We as a people of God must understand that when we cry out to God honestly and we have a sincere heart, and we have a sincere mind about God in prayer, you can see God start to change your situation. You can see God start to move in your life like never before. How many of us today need God to do something supernatural in your life? If you need God to do something supernatural, you need to act supernatural. You need to show God that you are created in his image, in his likeness, and that you're willing to do what he asks you to do. Amen? We as a people must show God that we can be obedient, that we can be obedient to his word, obedient to his will, obedient to his call. We need to understand that obedience is better than sacrifice. When we come to this conclusion or come to this revelation in our lives, that when we become obedient and sincere about the things of God, then God can be sincere about you. Amen. I encourage you and I challenge you to try God, to see if you become obedient to God, then you will see God become obedient to you. Amen. And you'll see God start to move in your life like never before. So you got to understand, to fall on your face is a place of complete surrender of your will. How many people want to surrender their total will unto God? What do you have to lose? What do you have to lose to try the word? Have you really tried the word lately? Or have you been in your pity party? Or have you been frustrated? And have you been upset? And have you been downtrodden? And have you been vexed? And have you been upset? For what? Why are you upset? Why are you downtrodden? Jesus speaks here. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. The joy of the Lord should be our strength. Even when we're going through something in this life, we must understand that we can cry out to the Most High God. We can gather strength from the Word of God. Today, we need to understand that God wants to use us like never before. We need to understand that we need to cry out unto God and let God be God. And stop trying to work it out. Stop trying to figure it out. Give it to God. Take it to the Lord in prayer. But take it one step further. Get on your face before the Lord and cry out unto the Lord like never before. What do you have to lose? I guarantee you, if you try, you're going to get great results. You're going to start to see change manifest in your life, manifest in your finances, manifest in your career, manifest in your family. How many people need the manifestation of the Almighty? How many people want to experience the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? When he moved by his spirit like never before, when he came and he put the enemies under his people's feet, how many people want to see God move in their lives? How many people are tired of talking about God moving, but ready to reverence and ready to witness the move of God? Amen. I'm the kind of person, I want to be a witness to what God is doing. I don't just want to read about it. I just don't want to hear about it. I want to be a partaker of it, and I want to be a part of it. Amen. How many people want to be a part of what God is doing in the earth? God is moving like never before, but he needs a sold-out, blood-washed, blood-bought, committed army unto what the word of God, into God, into him. You got to understand, God wants to use man. God's purpose, even from the beginning of time, was to use man, was to come and commune with man, was to come and talk to man face to face. If you read your Bible in the book of Exodus, God started to move and talk to a man face to face, and this man was Moses. God started to speak to him just like, you know, he spoke to a friend. We as a people of God, we're supposed to be a friend of God and not an enemy of God. We as a people of God need to understand we need to stop listening to the enemy. We need to stop being a friend of the world. We need to stop buying into everything that comes by way of the world. We need to buy into the word of God. We need to put our time into the word, put our hope and trust in the word in God. You got to understand that God want to be want to move in our lives. How many people want to see God move in their lives every single day of their lives? Amen. Oh, I'm excited this morning. Are you excited? Can you give God some praise this morning? Oh, I'm giving God praise. I'm giving God honor. The face of the Lord is hidden in his word. Once we seek his face through the word of God, we will see him through his son, Jesus. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. Oh, somebody, I'm excited this morning. Are you excited? Can you give God praise this morning? Oh, it's time to praise him. It's time to reverence him. It's time to magnify the Most High God, all in the name of Jesus. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting at verse 5, it said, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Amen. Let's go back up to verse 4. "In whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Verse 5. "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Verse 6. "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You got to get an understanding that when we cry out to God and when we really seek God and search God and search for for God through his word, that we can start to see God move like never before. In the scripture in verse 6, for God who has commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined it in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You got to get an understanding. God wanted us to get into the word. He wants us to allow the word to illuminate our understanding, to illuminate our sight. He wants us to be able to pierce the darkness. He wants us to be able to expose the enemy. And we as a people of God, when you be in that place of prayer before the Lord, you be in that place of study, you be in that place of seeking God. And when you get into that place and you are hid under the shadow of the Almighty, then you will, your eyes and your understanding will start to come alive. You will start to be, your spiritual sight will start to be sharpened. Amen? And you will start to penetrate the darkness. You will start to see what the enemy is trying to do. You will be able to stop the enemy in his tracks long before he can wage war against you, long before he can bring trouble in your life. We as a people of God must understand that certain things in the word of God is necessary for us. It's necessary for our survival. Who here in the world today will like to know what the enemy is trying to do? Just can you imagine? If you knew what the enemy was trying to do against you and against God's people, then you could be an intercessor. You can be a person that intercepts the devil's communication and be able to pull it down and cast it down to the pit of hell. We need to understand that we have an ability. We have to pull down and cast down the things of the enemy. God has given us an anointing to destroy the yokes and to tread upon scorpions and serpents and all power of the enemy. We need to understand that prayer is a weapon. And we as a people, if we use prayer as it was intended for us as Christians, that we can see things come to pass, you know, when we pray. We can see God move like never before. We can see people get healed of sickness and disease. We can see people be clothed in their right mind. We can see people be set free from demonic forces. We can see people be set free from diseases. We can see people be set free, somebody. The Bible declares that Jesus said he came to set the captives free. He came to leave captivity captive. We are the people of God. We need to understand that prayer is necessary. And praying and reverencing God is necessary for us to be able to see God move. Amen? I'm excited this morning. Our natural eyes cannot see his face or else we would perish in Exodus 33. I'm excited this morning. Are you fired up this morning? Oh, it's time to give God praise. Let's go to Exodus verse chapter 33. Amen. Verses 18 through 23. Oh, I'm excited this morning. In the name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Exodus 33. Amen. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Exodus 33, starting in verse 18. And it reads, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, in verse 20, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. Amen. So we as a people of God, you know, should have a desire to please God. But to see God's face literally could cause physical death. Amen. But we as a people, we should seek God, you know, and God will manifest, you know, through his word. He will manifest through, you know, our prayers being answered. He will manifest through God speaking through the hearts of man and man being able to broadcast the things of God. Or he will speak to us literally. How many of us have heard the voice of God? How many of us know that God can speak to man even in this day. How many people know that God has a fivefold ministry that he uses? He used the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers. He used the fivefold ministry to broadcast his will. He used people in the earth today. But guess what? God want to use you today. God want to use you to broadcast his message. God want to use you to show people how to pray. God want to use you to be an example on leading folks into prayer. God want to use you, somebody. How many people want to be used of the Lord? Amen. In verse 21, and the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand up on a rock. And it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Now he was talking to Moses, and Moses had a zeal for God. He had a love for God. And you got to get an understanding that God spoke to Moses like never before. Imagine, Moses had a revelation. He said that God desired that all men be prophets, that all men be mouthpieces, that all men be used by God. He had a revelation about the things of God. God has created us to be used. God has created us to be examples. God has created us. And we saw in the book of Matthew where Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane and he prayed. And he took three men with him into the garden, and he asked them to wait for him there and pray with him. But what happened to man? They went to sleep. They didn't have a concern about prayer. They didn't have a heart to pray. There are so many people in this earth right now don't have a heart to pray. They want to complain and murmur, and they want to give up. But God don't want you to give up. God wants you to be a prayer warrior. God wants you to be an intercessor. We as a people of God, we have seen this morning that God will use you like never before if you allow him to use you. How many people wants to be used of God? How many people want to be like Jesus Christ, to be used of God, to be an example of God, to be an example of going through suffering and overcoming and being used to show forth signs and wonders and miracles? God is searching for a people that want to do greater works. The Bible declares in John, it says, the works that I do, Jesus said this, the works that I do, the works shall ye do, and greater works shall ye do. God want to put his anointing on man and want to use man like never before. God want to manifest in a way that it will bring folks to know that he is God. God want to be glorified. God want to be exalted. How many of us want to be used of God this morning? How many of us want to be used of God? Amen. I'm going to ask you this question through this broadcast. Do you want to be used by God? Amen. And once we fall on our faces, the Lord will take the enemy and destroy him. Amen. 1 Kings 18. And a lot of us have so many enemies, you know, but you got to get an understanding. Once you engulf yourself in God, engulf yourself in prayer, and saturate your mind with prayer and the word, you got to understand that God will come in and start to move on your behalf. Go down to verse 37, if you will. Amen. Oh, I'm excited this morning, giving God praise, giving God glory, for he is such an awesome God, in Jesus' name. 1 Kings 18, down to verse 37 through 40. Amen. I'm excited this morning. I'm very excited for God. And it reads, hear me, O Lord, hear me. Now, he said, hear me, O Lord, hear me. He wants to get God's attention here in this passage of Scripture, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and thou hast turned their heart back again. In verse 18, 1 Kings 18, 38. Then the fear of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice in the wood and the stone, and the dust licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. Now, it took for God to come down and to consume the sacrifice in the wood and the water that the prophet had set up before the people, before the people fell on their faces and said that, Lord, he is the God. Does it take something miraculous to happen in your life before you get on your face before the Lord? It shouldn't. It should be a daily routine in your life to get on your face before God and cry out unto him. How many people rose this morning and they thank God for being able to be aroused? How many people thank God this morning that you was able to wake up? How many people thank God that he came and saw fit to wake you up? We need to get an understanding this morning, saints and people of the world, that God is requiring us to return to our first love, return to our first responsibilities, and it's prayer, and it's living holy, and it's seeking him, and it's reverencing him. We as a people of God, if we was to seek God, if we was to reverence God, if we was just to pray, Matthew 26:41 tells us to watch and pray. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. That's, we as people of God, we have just very few responsibilities, and we can't even pull it off. And God is just saying, watch and pray. He said, pray without ceasing. But how many of us want to go take it to another level, to be on your face before the Lord and pray, to show God that you reverence him, to allow your face as a place of reverence? Lord, I reverence you. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I surrender my total will unto you. God wants you to surrender your will this morning. He wants you to understand that he wants to use you, but he wants you to surrender your will unto the Most High God. Are you willing to surrender this morning? Are you willing to get on your face before the Lord and start to cry out to God and start to seek God and start to allow God to use you? Amen. This morning, I pray that you receive something from the word this morning. I pray that you will start to lay prostrate before the Lord and start to pray and cry out. But most of all, live holy. Be ye holy, for the Lord our God is holy. Holiness. We can't do what we want, people. We cannot do what we want and expect God to do the miraculous in our lives. We cannot go out and be in sin and expect God to move. We cannot go out and sin 6 days a week, and on Sunday we're supposed to be holy, and it's supposed to be our cure-all. We are the people, a holy lifestyle is required, amen, for all of us that call on the name of Jesus. So in conclusion, I pray that you understand that the face is the part of the body that is honored the most. And when you fall on your face before God, this is the most reverential position we can be in. So let's get in that reverential place before God and start to cry out to God. Start to seek God like never before, because it's needed. Because there's so much devastation and destruction that the enemy has devised against this world. And we are the people that pray. We need to be able to see what the enemy is doing, that we might be strategic and praying to pull down what his devices. We are the people of God. You know, we are not ignorant of the devil's devices, but it's time for us to be used of God, understand the weapons of God, understand the weapons of our warfare, understand that God want to use you to be a prayer warrior. You got to understand today, saints and people of the world, and people listen to this broadcast, that God want us to take a look at the word and look at it closely. And when they give us, you know, on things to do, we need to be moving expeditiously to do what the word say do. Because when we do what the word say do, then we can get the benefits and the blessings that the word speak about for his people. So this is Pastor Herbert with the Flame of Fire Ministries, broadcasting from Blog Talk Radio. We thank you for listening to this broadcast, and we thank you that allow God to use you in his end time. And also, I'm starting the School of the Prophets this Thursday, and every week there will be a featured School of the Prophets message. A donation of $20 is needed to provide the future message. Your donation will help cover the recording costs and mailing your personal CD. Go to www.flamefire.org. Click on the donations tab at the top of the page. Then click on the donate to make your donations, or you can mail a check to the P.O. Box address posted on our website. Make checks payable to the Flame of Fire Ministry, Once you make or send your donation, email us at flameoffire333@gmail.com and give us your mailing address to send your CD. And today's, this Thursday, School of Prophets message will be entitled, Having Eyes to See. This message will address God is calling the prophets to see. God is asking the prophets what does he see? How does man see? How does God see? The intensity of God's eyes. Just a few examples on what will be discussed in this Having Eyes to See message from the School of the Prophet. So go ahead and place your order and enjoy the power of God's word. So until we come together again, be blessed and be thy exalted and exalt the Lord of glory in your life. For this, again, this is Pastor Herbert of the Flame of Fire Ministries. And by all means, School of the Prophet is going to be dynamic. It's going to be supernatural. And I encourage you to donate and receive your personal copy of this featured message that will be broadcast Thursday. Not live, but it will be broadcast and put together in the studio, here in my studio. And I will mail out the CDs to all that donate, and you will be blessed by this message. It will give you a greater understanding of who God is and really understand sight. It's in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray. And I thank you, Lord, for this broadcast. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Take me to the King.
Truth is, I'm tired. Options are few. I'm trying to pray, but where are you? I'm all churched out, hurt and abused. I can't face what's left. I'm weak, no strength to fight, no tears to cry, even if I try, but still my soul refuses to die. Torn in pieces. my heart.